Storytellers can be boring know-it-alls sometimes, can't they? For instance, one guy who gets up often on Sunday and tells stories can sometimes be a boring know-it-all. And because I know that's true about storytellers, I often wonder about the gospel stories about the resurrection. If I were writing a gospel, I'd write it such that I would say, I knew Jesus was going to be raised, and I was there waiting for him, and I recognized him right off the bat. But the gospel stories about the resurrection aren't these boring know-it-all stories. They're sort of sheepish stories that say, we didn't know that was coming. We didn't recognize him when we saw him, and we weren't sure what to do with it. Think about the story of Mary Magdalene, who had been with Jesus through thick and thin. He had healed her. They had loved one another. She was an important disciple. She'd walked along with him. She was there at the crucifixion. And even Mary in the garden doesn't recognize the risen Christ. She thinks he's the gardener. Thomas is sure that the story can't be true, and he doubts that Jesus is raised and says he'll only know if he can put his hand in his side. And when he finally sees Jesus, it's only after being invited to do so that he can make a faithful proclamation. Two disciples on the afternoon of that first Easter are walking along the road to Emmaus, and they talk to Jesus for a long time about Jesus. And they don't know it's Jesus. What's going on here? Was Jesus traveling incognito? Was it cloak and dagger? Was Jesus trying to be unseen to each of these to whom he made an appearance? Not only then, but Jesus is kind of hard to find at Easter time now as well. With our popular culture surrounding us, I've been watching and listening. I've seen tweets and Facebook posts and internet writings going back and forth and looking at the newspapers and looking at television, and there's not a lot of Jesus in these Easter stories. I haven't seen a gardener. I haven't seen a stranger on the road. I haven't seen a guy with a loaf of bread. Jesus is traveling incognito in different ways these days. I have seen a dachshund dressed up like the Easter Bunny. I have seen the list of the 10 creepiest Easter Bunny costumes. I even saw yesterday a picture of a mantle. You can tell it's a mantle of a faithful religious person because there's a cross made from a Palm Sunday palm on the mantle. And there's a wonderful Christian affirmation on a little poster on the mantle. And then there's a picture of a quite striking, handsome, European-looking man with a well-trimmed beard and a robe on the mantle. And underneath the picture it says, Mom, that's not Jesus. Why? Because it's Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi from the Star Wars movies. It's hard to find Jesus in Easter, whether it's the first Easter Sunday or whether it's this Easter Sunday. Is he traveling incognito? Is Jesus trying not to be found? I often wonder, and yet the stories tell us, even if Jesus seems hard to find, he is risen, he is there, and he is encountering you. One by one, the biblical stories say that finally they recognized Jesus was there for them. In the garden, Mary, teacher, she responds. In the upper room, Thomas, put your hand in. My Lord and my God, he responds. In Luke 24, the disciples who are walking along the road to Emmaus, he breaks the bread and they recognize him in the breaking of the bread. How will we recognize Jesus today? I'm not sure how we recognize Jesus in the dog with the bunny costume. I'm not sure how we recognize Jesus in Obi-Wan Kenobi on a mantelpiece. And it seems that Jesus might have known we wouldn't quite be sure. And that's why, before he was even arrested and crucified, he told the disciples an important story in Matthew 25. He says, there's going to come a time when I arrive in my glory and I'm going to gather the peoples before me, and this is what I'm going to tell them. You on my right, enter into the rain that is prepared for you, because when I was hungry, thirsty, naked, stranger, sick, and in prison, you took care of me. And they are going to say, when did we do all that stuff? When did we see you hungry, thirsty, naked, stranger, sick, and in prison? And the king will say to them, every time you did it for one of the least of these, you were doing it for me. And those on the left, he will say, when I was hungry and thirsty, naked, stranger, sick, and in prison, you didn't help to me, come to me and give me help. And therefore, they will ask, when did we see you like that? And he'll let them know. Each and every time you encountered one of the least of these in these situations, you were encountering me. Jesus tells the disciples, and through the Gospel of Matthew tells us, I will not be traveling incognito. I am giving you some clues so that you will recognize my presence in the world. Let's look at the clues that we've outlined here. There's the garden clue. When one whom you love comes from God, is raised by God, and calls you by name, and you acknowledge that one as your teacher, you've encountered the risen Christ, as has Mary. When we learn the words and deeds and love of God through Christ, and we look to Christ as our teacher, and we receive his welcome, and he calls us by name, we are encountering the risen Christ. When we make a proclamation of faith, when the Spirit of Christ is present in the room, in any gathering, and we are able to say, as did Thomas, my Lord and my God, we are encountering the risen Christ. When we're traveling along together, and we're exploring Scripture, and we're feeling down, and we're not sure what's happening, and we break the bread together, and we offer it to one another, and all strangers who will come, we are encountering the risen Christ. And when we reach out to those who are hungry, thirsty, naked, stranger, sick, and imprisoned, the least of these, we are encountering the risen Christ. They won't all be in robes with beards like Obi-Wan Kenobi, so they might be hard to spot. That's why we have the gospel stories. The gospel stories tell us how we will recognize the risen Christ in our lives. When he calls us by name, when he enters a room, when he breaks bread with us, when he is present in those who have been oppressed and pushed to the margins, and we encounter them with love and openness and faithfulness, Jesus will no longer be seen as traveling incognito, but we will recognize him in those encounters each and every time. Even though Jesus told us how to find him, even though we've been prepared by the Gospels for encountering the risen Christ day in and day out, the world is sending us mixed messages about what's happening today on Easter. Messages that are fun and whimsical. I love Easter eggs. I told our baptism kids this morning that I love chocolate more than just about any food in the world. Nothing wrong with a chocolate Easter bunny if you ask Pastor Jeff. But here's the thing. The fun and whimsical stuff has grown out of a faithful proclamation of the Christian church over the millennia, and now has become a focus for some people. Now they look at that, and that's what Easter's all about. We are called to look more deeply than that. We are called to seek Jesus each and every day, and we're called to be those who help others to see Jesus each and every day. For indeed, sisters and brothers in Christ, we have been named body of Christ. Christ's presence in the world. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, his 13th chapter, now you are the body of Christ. And I've said this before, Paul was a Southerner, and he said, all y'all are the body of Christ. And individually, members of it. So here's the thing. Jesus isn't really traveling incognito. Jesus told us through the Gospels just how we find him. I'll call you by name. I'll enter your life. I'll be there in the breaking of the bread. I'll be present in your community. I will be the sick, hungry, lonely, stranger, prisoner in your midst. I will be there. Now, you've heard the gospel. You've read the gospel. You know that it seems to some that Jesus is traveling incognito, but you know how to find him. You know he can call your name and you can claim his as your teacher. You know that you can meet him on the road and in the breaking of the bread. You know that he's there in the midst of those who are being oppressed, imprisoned, and who are suffering. Now, you can go out and tell the world. You can go out and share the good news. You can go out and embody the love. And so can I. We can be those who proclaim through act and word who and what Jesus is in this world today. We say Christ is risen. Indeed, Christ is risen. We say that because we do not believe that the gospel stories are just tales about something that happened thousands of years ago. We believe that they are tales about something that is happening even today, that God's loving power for life overcomes all powers of death and despair, that God's presence in the world is spirit-filled and Christ-shaped. That we as followers of Jesus Christ have been loved, have been called, and have been asked to serve the world that God loves so very much. That is the Easter proclamation. Jesus is alive, and he's to be alive through us. I read an interview with former President Jimmy Carter recently in which the interviewer flat out asked him, am I supposed to believe literally in all of this resurrection stuff? I've really enjoyed Jimmy Carter's writings over the years, and so I was waiting to see what Carter was going to do with this. And Carter gave the only answer that he faithfully could, which is to say that that's not quite the right question. His answer implied that the question wasn't focused enough. Carter said, I believe. It's a faith issue. I believe. That's what we're asking today as we read this story. What can we believe about the risen Christ? And how can he be known in our lives? No science experiment is going to prove or disprove the resurrection. No amount of rhetoric is going to prove or disprove the resurrection. The only way in which the resurrection is present in the world today is in the hearts and minds and spirits of those who've encountered the living Christ and those who carry him into the world through their faithful lives. One person to another, through the breaking of the bread, through the sharing of the word, to the feeding of the hungry, to the welcoming of the stranger, to the visiting of the prisoner, each and every act, each and every moment brings forth and proclaims the risen Christ. It seemed like he's been traveling incognito for so many years. These days, it's hard to tell what Jesus is going to look like. Surely, historically, there's no way he could have looked like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Jesus were a white guy, they would have mentioned it somewhere in the Bible, given where he lived and all. Surely he wasn't dressed up like the Easter Bunny. That probably would have made the Bible too. But surely, surely, Jesus is present in the world and God's Spirit is moving through the world in love, in hope, in resurrection hope. The word that we share with the world today is that Christ is risen. Through the power of God's love, we know the risen Christ. And through the power of God's love, we are asked to bear forth and to share the risen Christ with the world. You might expect to see Jesus in a robe, but you might find him begging for food on a street corner. You might expect to see Jesus wearing sandals, but you might see him wearing slippers in a prison hallway. You might expect to see Jesus hosting a bounteous feast, but you might find him as a stranger knocking on a door. He's not traveling incognito. He's told us again and again, how to find him, how to recognize him, how to embrace him, how to love him. By finding, recognizing, embracing, and loving the world. And after all, that's how Jesus summed up the greatest commandment, isn't it? Love God with everything you've got. And then, and while you're doing that, love your neighbor as yourself. You'll see Jesus. I believe that. You'll see Jesus. We're called to trust that. You'll see Jesus in your neighbor, in the oppressed, the sick, the prisoner, in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the word. Because Jesus is risen. He is among us. Hallelujah. Amen.